Your Giants.com multimedia program will begin shortly. Your Giants.com multimedia program will begin shortly. Your Giants.com multimedia program will begin shortly.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
And he back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set. He's back to throw. Finds the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes. Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Big Blue Kickoff Live is presented by Andrew Mark. You can listen on Giants.com or on your Giants mobile app. You can download it from your iTunes store, your Google Play store, or, of course, your BlackBerry app world if you happen to still have a BlackBerry, like Mr. Dottino right in front of me. Is that now? Am I wrong about that? There's a little Google action you got going there, right, Dottino?
This is not a BlackBerry. I never had a BlackBerry, never would have a BlackBerry.
In fairness, he went from the flip phone right to the
Android,
the Google, and that happened about, what, 6 months ago?
Last season, actually.
Yeah, very good.
Yes.
Graduated from the flip phone. That was a big, big time for Paulie Dotts, and a big time as well. Giants minicamp is opening up this week, Paul. By the way, we're joined by Paul Dottino. Covers the Giants for Giants.com, of course, WFAN as well, and Giants TV, all that good stuff. So, Paul, minicamp coming up this week, a little bit of a different flavor considering we've actually had OTAs this year.
Yeah.
We've seen these guys a little bit, but your thoughts so far on what you've seen heading into minicamp from some of these Giants players?
Well, you know, John, I saw a really good attitude during the OTAs. I saw a lot of guys who were hungry again, guys who were not resting on their laurels, so to speak. You know, the Giants got their rings, I guess it was, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or whatever it was. But I didn't see many guys during the OTAs, you know, playing like a fat cat. I mean, they seemed like they were really ready to go to work. They seemed to get the message that Tom Coughlin was trying to give them. Eli Manning apparently also spoke to the team at one point as well. Justin Tuck, too. This team understands that they're going to have to work twice as hard if they're going to defend their championship.
Yeah, and no doubt about it. And I think I've talked to a bunch of guys over the last week or so about whether or not they think they've had the right attitude, approach, mindset, energy coming off a Super Bowl. As you know, Paul, coming off a Super Bowl, sometimes people can let down a little bit. It happens. But we saw this group in 2000, at least some of these players back in 2008, play extremely well off of their 2007
right.
Super Bowl. And the approach to me seems very much the same this offseason
yeah.
as it did the offseason after Super Bowl 42.
And that's to Tom Coughlin's credit. You remember the Giants during their first three defenses of their Super Bowl championships. The first two were under Bill Parcells. They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, one was a strike year, though.
One
right?
was a strike year.
So.
That was a strike year. And they didn't make the playoffs the following year. Ray Hanley wound up taking over in 91 after Parcells had won the Super Bowl with the 1990 Giants. And that turned out to be a disaster. So they were 0 for their first two. Then they go to win their third Super Bowl. That one under Tom Coughlin. And, of course, we know what happened. They were one and done in the playoffs. But I do believe that this team is of the proper mentality to make another playoff run. How far will they go? Hey, only time will tell. Only injuries will tell. But I think on paper, this is definitely a playoff team. And at the moment, John, I like the fact that it looks like they have filled all of their holes going into the offseason, especially if you know, you want to look at this past draft. I thought they did a sensational job in the draft. Picked up a couple of free agents along the way as well, but I thought Jerry Reese did a very, very good job, specifically in this year's draft.
Well, where do you think then the Giants are still trying to figure things out? What competitions, what position groups are you watching during the 3 days of minicamp this week where they're still kind of figuring out maybe the depth or even in some cases the starters?
Well, you know, to me it's only depth, John. I think we know who the starters are going to be all the way around the board except for the kick return game.
See, I'll disagree with you on that. Here's a couple spots where I think we don't know exactly how the offensive line is going to be arranged yet. I think you could theoretically still see, you know, some maybe one of the young guys went out of tackle, or maybe Petras plays great at guard and Booth still remains a swing man.
But that's the only flop, whether it's Petras or Booth, and we already know both of those guys because they've been here. I don't know that that's that much of a big switch.
Fair enough. I don't know for sure that Chase Blackburn's a starting middle linebacker first game of the year. I don't know
that
for
sure yet. I think he does, but I don't think he's going to hold the job but a month.
Okay, fair enough, but I don't think we know that for sure. Otherwise, yeah, the starters are pretty much decided here, except maybe you want to argue the third safety, but again, then you're talking about depth.
Yeah, and we don't know who the fourth receiver is going to be.
Right. Or the third receiver with Nix out, for that matter. Same
right, but I assume that Nix will be ready opening day.
Correct.
At least we hope so.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, fourth receiver. But the depth at receiver is a huge question mark. You're right, the third safety is a question mark. I also, quite honestly, I'm interested to see how the linebackers line up. It's not a matter of who's going to be on the team, but how do they line them up? You know, Rivers and Boley and Herzlich, and these guys have a lot of flexibility. I mean, Kiwi's back there also. How is Perry Fuel going to use these guys? So to me, it's not so much who's going to be on the team, but how does Fuel utilize them in certain situations that I'm more curious about than anything else. Roster spots, to me, going into Albany are not that much of a concern.
And weak side linebacker, to me, is interesting because you have three guys that have excelled there in the past. Obviously, Keith Rivers has been injured a lot, but top 10 pick. Michael Boley played great in that spot last year.
Yeah.
And really, Jaquan Williams is also a weak side linebacker. Him and Boley just both happened to play at the same time in the nickel. So I'll be curious to see, A, if they carry all three guys, how they're going to utilize all three, or maybe they decide they don't need to have 3 weeks side linebackers on the team.
No, and that's a really good question, John, because I know Perry Fuel's also looking at how deep this corner position is. Will he decide he'll want to keep an extra corner at the expense of another spot? Because the Giants probably have 7 corners right now who could play in this league. And you know they're not all going to make the team. They can't. There's not enough room. So that's a very interesting dynamic. And then the other thing is, if the Giants continue to go with some form of the three-headed monster, the Ghidra safety package that I like to call
which
it.
Which I don't think they will, by the way.
Well, do they use somebody else to play it? In other words, do they use a similar scheme, but instead of using a third safety because Deion Grant is not here, do they perhaps use Jaquan Williams as a monster back and make him the pseudo Deion Grant strong safety, extra corner kind of player? They could do that. He's athletic enough. He could do it.
Remember, though, Deion Grant played deep last year in that package, but Zontrell Roll was playing the slot.
That's
so
true.
Last year, Deion Grant was not deep in that package. He was not close to the line of scrimmage.
But if they used Jaquan, they would flop Antrell and move him back further and use Jaquan closer to the line. They could do that.
But the problem you have there, though, you don't have the third cornerback on the field. If their team is 3 wide receivers, Jaquan Williams can't guard that slot guy.
That's why Perry has a lot of combinations that he can use. Another thing he could do, he could just go with an extra corner. Instead of going with the third safety, he could just use the extra dime back as a corner.
Or nickelback, for that matter. If Terrell Thomas, Webster, and Amukamara are all healthy, which, you know, we'll see.
Right.
Those are probably your 3 best defensive backs, even including the safeties. I mean, I think your top 5 DBs on your team are probably Roland Phillips, then Webster, Thomas, and Prince. Those are probably your 5 best defensive backs, and then you figure things out after that.
And, you know, a guy like Justin Tryon can play this game. We know that Bruce Johnson can play this game. We think Witherspoon can play. We hadn't seen him enough last year after he got hurt, but we think he can play too. I mean, there are guys.
Not going to play this year, though, obviously.
No. No, unfortunately. Right. But, I mean, they have so many guys. That's right, Witherspoon got hurt again.
And throw in Jayron Hosley, the 3rd-round pick. And
Hosley's
then,
terrific.
Exactly. Then Antoine Molden played a huge role for the Patriots last year.
So many corners on this team, John. And it's going to hurt to cut any one of them. It really is. They're that deep at this position. I've never seen the Giants be so deep at corner in my 30 years of covering the team. And it's not only me that's noticed it, because I've heard some of the assistant coaches tell the players the same thing. that in all the years that they've been around the game, they've never seen so many quality cornerbacks on the same roster at one time.
Of course, remember last year, we thought the Giants had a lot of depth at cornerback.
Six guys
too,
went down.
And then a million go down with injury. So
six guys.
The old adage is you can never have enough cornerbacks in this league, especially the way it's played now with the 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. So the Giants certainly are in pretty good shape there. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, presented by Andrew Mark, also on your mobile app on your smartphone. Let's go to the phone and say hello to Len in Maryland. What's up, Len?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Hi.
Great, great, great. Listen, I agree with one direction that Paul was taking us here. You know, on paper, this team is really loaded. I mean, every position we're loaded. I'm a little concerned about the injuries. Let me start with the Bernard signing. We talked maybe last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, when they re-signed Osi. My feeling was that this was a move only made by a team that thought they could go deep in the playoffs or maybe make the Super Bowl again, which I think would be a crowning achievement in my lifetime to win two in a row. That would put us, not that we're not up in the upper tier of franchises, but I think that two in a row is that's a mark where people start talking about dynasties. And I think the Giants want to get there. And not only with the OC signing, but I think the Rocky signing lends itself toward that idea as well. But I'm beginning to wonder, how badly is Candy's knee? What's the deal with Linville Joseph's ankle? What kind of shape is this fellow Austin in? You know, the second-round pick from last year. Is he ready to contribute in any way? What do we have in Marcus Kuhn? So I'm a little worried about the injuries. My guess would be there'd probably be 20 guys who won't dress for this minicamp. I hope they got a lot of bicycles out there because I think they're going to need them the way it looks.
Well, Len, a couple things before you keep going here, and we'll leave you up. But in terms of the injuries, I would say Linville Joseph's closer than Chris Canty. Yeah. For one, in terms of the ankle and the knee, they're going to take it easy with Canty. No reason to rush him back for a mini camp. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. We'll see him up in Albany in August, hopefully practicing. We'll see. Joseph's closer than him in terms of the injuries on the defensive line.
How about Marvin Austin? What are you hearing on Marvin Austin?
You know, I'll take Austin because when he got back here during the offseason, the coaches were not very happy with him. He was out of shape and overweight. But then they put him through a boot camp. And my understanding is, John, that they're a lot happier with him this month than they were last month because he did work his behind off in the trainer's room and in the weight room to try to get himself into some sort of NFL condition. I will say this, he's missed a lot of football these last 2 years.
Wow.
A lot of
That's
football.
Cool.
And you just don't pick that up in a heartbeat.
And I had a chance to talk to Marvin the other day, and I asked him how quickly he's been able to come back from not playing in basically 3 years. Come August, it's going to be 3 years since he's played in a game. And he said physically he hasn't really had any problems. He's clicked back in. Mentally, there are some things that he's still catching up on. But he said physically he's moving around okay and his explosion's there. So obviously only time will tell. But the guy's a great athlete. As Paul said, he was a little overweight. They're getting that under control. He still looks a little puffy to me. But that's something that I think the Giants think they can control once they get him up in Albany and you really get these guys burning all those calories every day.
Good news is there are a lot of veterans on this defensive line who can kind of guide him a little bit. So even if he doesn't know exactly what he's doing, he may have an idea of what it is he's supposed to do.
And we got Rocky, back. I mean, he's a tough guy. You know, when he was healthy the last 2 years, he played some good football for us.
He gave the Giants some flashes at times. You know, I've never been a huge Rocky Bernard fan, but on occasion he was able to step up and make some plays.
And that just reeks of the veteran that I don't want to show up for OTAs. I'll show up for the weekend.
One more quick point, if you'll allow me. One more indication that it is indeed a business. The roster move yesterday with Jake Ballard, I think it's all going to turn out right and just in the end, and Jake will be re-signed, and you'll make a little money and have another shot in 2013. But, wow, I tell you, when you just read the headline, that's a tough thing to take. I remember him on that sideline in the Super Bowl when he tried to get up and run a little bit and just fell down. I mean, a guy trying to give his all. Hopefully it'll work out positive, but in the end, you know, we just all got to remember this is, geez, it's just a business. I mean, And a tough business. Hey, guys, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Len. Appreciate the call. And he's right. I think Bowd will be back here rehabbing for the Giants, and I think he'll be back next year.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to pick him up off of waivers, John, because it's quite clear he's not going to be able to play this season.
Right.
And why would a team waste a spot like that? They can't. Nobody can afford to do that.
No, not at all. By the way, if you listen carefully on Len's line there, very clear, you hear like the birds chirping in the background. That's nice. You know, we're kind of stuck here in the swamp. Len's like out in the wilderness down in Maryland, just, you know, sitting on his porch drinking his morning coffee. Sounds pretty good to me. How about you, Dottino?
You know what, John? I kind of like the Jersey swamps. But then again, I'm a Springsteen guy, so what do you expect?
Well, just because you like Jersey doesn't mean you have to prefer swamps to, like, a nice forest. Don't be stupid about it.
Nah, that's cool. That's cool. Jersey has nice shorelines, too, you know.
I'm aware.
Forget that.
I know Paul loves the Jersey Shore, both going there and the TV show. 201-939-4513. A lot going on with the Giants here at Giants.com. By the way, I forgot to tell you.
What's up?
At the White House last Friday.
Yes.
I had a little chat, and President Obama said he's going to try to mimic your intensity in the campaign this year, and he thinks that's going to put him over the top.
He's got no chance. No chance whatsoever. Intensity or otherwise.
I was going to say, of winning or mimicking your intensity.
Neither.
Oh, man. I just thought he goes, how's that Paul Dottino doing? He leaves a lot of energy, that guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Man. But as we move here through minicamp, Paul, a couple other things I guess we can keep an eye on. Do you think the Giants are finally going to decide to keep three quarterbacks, or do you think they're going to have two on the roster again this year?
I'd go with two, but that would be my preference.
Why change what's worked, right?
I suspect that Tom Coughlin will do the same thing. It's a shame because, you know, Perilou's been around for a while now, and he's got a heck of an arm, and he's a good guy.
Really nice kid.
Oh,
such
yeah.
Such a nice kid.
Oh, yeah. But the bottom line is, you know, you can't afford to elevate him ahead of David Carr. I mean, David Carr, as the veteran that he is just too important to this team if Eli goes down. So, you know, Perilou's not going to win that spot, and as a result, he's not going to have a roster spot either.
I had an interesting call yesterday I want to ask you about it. He asked me, what running back do you think has the best hands in terms of catching passes on the team? I know what my answer I gave. I want to see what you think.
The best hands of the running backs.
I want DJ Ware.
I agree.
Now, here's the thing about Ahmad Bradshaw. The Giants don't use him much in the passing game.
I'm told Wilson has good hands.
But his inability to be a receiver out of the backfield wasn't not coming out of college. So I'm not sure if that had more to do with his hands or more to do with his route running.
Yeah, I know. But I'm told he's got good hands, and I think it was the way that he was used. But I will say this. That's also another interesting battle to watch, John. As we go down the depth chart, who's going to fill in the back end of that running back spot? I think that's going to be something we want to keep an eye on, too, up at Albany.
Well, Len just called back, talked to Mr. Melroy here. He actually was on his porch drinking coffee, and those were birds. No joke.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Tweet, tweet.
By the way, I figured you of all people would appreciate Melroy's shirt that he apparently imported from 1982 in the Jack Tripper collection from Three's Company. That's pretty brutal, isn't it?
It's nasty, dude. It's really nasty. Really nasty.
I'm not sure if it's a shirt or a beach towel. I used that line before with like the little bright
lines.
Oh,
that's good. That's good, John.
Now, in terms of wide receivers, Paul, but that's really, you know, minicamp, there's still no contact, really. It's like OTAs. You don't have pads on, so you can't really do a whole lot. I thought minicamp was different. I had a mental fart. I was talking the other day. But you can still watch wide receivers and corners. And obviously, a bunch of wide receivers are going to have an opportunity to do something here with Akeem Nicks out, and they're going to have a lot of opportunities.
Well, you know,
who steps up here? Is it Barden? Is it Randall? Or is it a guy like Jernigan, who I think, frankly, a lot of Giant fans are forgetting about? He was a third-round pick. They love his quickness and explosive ability. Which one of these guys steps up and plays a role here?
Well, certainly Barden's running out of lives here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's been here now for 3 years, and we haven't seen a whole lot of production out of him. So he is running out of lives very, very quickly. Jernigan, it's only his second year. He looked like a deer in headlights last season, John. Let's call it what it was.
And rightfully so. Comes out of a spread offense. No
at Troy.
OTAs. No offseason work. And got thrown into the mix in training camp. It was to be expected.
A fish out of water.
Yes.
No doubt about it. They badly would like him to acclimate himself to the NFL game as quickly as possible, because they would love for him to be that speed demon in the kick return game and from scrimmage. They would love for him to step up and do it. Whether or not he can, nobody knows. The other thing that we don't know is, what's his durability going to be like? See, that was one of the questions when he was drafted, is how is he going to hold up with the bigger, stronger, faster guys in the NFL as opposed to the guys he played against in college. So not only does Jernigan have to get himself mentally ready for the NFL, physically, how is he going to hold up if he's given, I don't want to say a large role, but if he's given a substantial role on this team?
You say he's about Sonoris Moss's size, right?
Yeah, not quite as solid, though. Moss was pretty solid.
Well, he was later in his career. First couple years, though, Moss obviously grew into that body.
Right.
So I'd say Jernigan and Moss are fairly comparable at this point.
Similar stature.
But different type of players.
No question.
Moss is more the top-end speed. Jernigan more the twitchy quickness, and that's his advantage.
He's a juker.
Right. And you're going to see him in when he or if he eventually plays, we'll see. I think he'll have to play in the slot. He can't play outside. He's just not big enough.
No. And that's why it's an interesting dynamic because if he winds up winning time in the wide receiver rotation, then you're going to have to put Cruz outside and Jernigan in the slot when they go to the three wides, if in fact Jernigan is that guy.
Which is fine. Cruz can play outside,
yes,
but
he
is more effective in the slot.
And that's the thing. If you wind up keeping Cruz in the slot and your third wide winds up being either Randall or does it wind up being Hixon or does it wind up being Barden.
They're all outside receivers.
They're outside.
Right.
And so it does make a difference.
And Cruz loves that slot. I talked to him about that in an interview that will be on Giants.com later on in the month, and I asked him, so you really do like playing the slot? He got this big smile on his face, like, yeah, when I'm in the slot, guys can't cover me man-on-man. They don't have a chance. So that's where he wants to be.
He has more options when he's in the slot as opposed to running wide. And then the other thing you got to remember is, too, a lot of times that third corner is a substandard corner on the defense.
You're right. Those some teams do move their best corner to the
slot
at times.
Sometimes.
Like the 49ers put Carlos Rogers there, for example. But then you have, say, the Eagles. They don't move Asamoah into the slot.
No.
You're going to deal with Yoselio Hansen, for example, and advantage Cruz.
Still, more often than not, it's a substandard corner.
Right.
So.
Advantage Cruz. 201-939-4513. Down to Florida, say good morning to Jessica. What's up, Jessica?
Hi, yes, I have a question.
Sure.
I noticed that the Giants, they signed a significant amount of, like, free agents. So when will those free agents, like, know when they're getting cut? Are these guys, like, guaranteed a spot on a team? Because, honestly, I don't think some of them are good enough to play for the Giants.
Look, I'm not trying to be a wise guy, but this team did win the Super Bowl, and it's going to be really, really hard for a free agent to make this opening day roster. Now, there are a couple of guys, we were just talking about Melroy earlier today, who we're looking at. Hill is a guy you got to look at as a possibility. Martinek, a lot of people seem to like Martinek, the kid out of Rutgers. I personally don't think he's going to make this team, but there are people who think he's got a shot. You know, beyond that, I don't know, John. It's going to be really, really hard for someone to squeak onto this roster.
And these cuts aren't going to be made, by the way, Jessica, until you get towards the end of training camp,
right,
after that second and third preseason game. And remember, the training camp roster this year are 90. They got increased this year to add more players, which is why you're probably seeing more guys come to the Giants than you're used to in the past, because in the new CBA, they increased the offseason roster size to give teams more flexibility when they get to camp and have more bodies, which coaches always want. They always want more bodies.
It used to be only 80.
Right. Now
so you
90.
Added 10. Those 10 guys, in a lot of cases, those 10 guys, maybe they figured they didn't have much of a chance to sign anywhere else, and they came to the Giants figuring, hey, you know what? At least if I get a chance to go to camp with the Super Bowl champions, that may bode well for me as I try to hook on somewhere else down the road, or at the very least, have some experience of working with a championship team. That's never a bad thing.
Yeah, that's great. But, you know, I live in the area of Miami, Florida, and I was actually happy to see two guys from the University of Miami go, you know, and, you know, get to be free agents for the Giants. But honestly, the Ojamo, the defensive end, I was shocked. I was like, really? Because he's a mediocre player. I was surprised that he got a call.
Well, you know, Will Hill coming out of high school was one of the top prep prospects in the nation, and then he didn't get his head screwed on straight when he went to college. He kind of went wayward, and he really turned out to be, an undrafted free agent. We'll see now, because this kid has tremendous talent and ability. I was talking earlier this morning. To me, he is one of the dark horses that I'm looking at. I'm going to be, you know, studying him very, very carefully as the Giants go to Albany. He might be my pick. You know, every year, John, I pick a dark horse. Last year it was Witherspoon. The year before it was Bruce Johnson. I always pick a dark horse every year. One year I remember I picked Ryan Grant, who wound up making the team, then got traded and then had 1,000 yards for the Packers.
How about some of your misses? I know you've had some of those.
I've had a few.
You just don't want to bring them up.
No, not right now. Brandon London was a miss.
Okay. There you go.
Actually, he made it, but then wound up, flaking out and didn't do a whole lot when he went to the Steelers. But it's always fun to do, to pick who's that dark horse guy.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about defensive end Ojimo and the safety JoJo Nicholas? Do you think they have a chance?
I would really doubt it.
I personally say no.
I would really doubt it.
I mean, practice squad guys, if they really do a whole lot, but those are the guys you would classify, I think, as roster fillers to fill spots heading into training camp. Now, look, Chase Blackburn was a roster filler. 7 years later, he's still in the Giants. So these guys will have – seriously. So these guys will have the opportunity to show the Giants something, and they have to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
All right, Jessica.
I don't understand football. I'm calling because you guys are the experts, because I was just wondering what the hell. Honestly.
No, because honestly, I tend to agree with you. Those two guys didn't exactly excel on the college level, but the Giants must see something in them, and they'll give them a chance to show them something the next 3 days and once again in training camp in August. Jessica, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good one. 201-939-4513. A little Miami Hurricane fan down there. And Paul keeps bringing up a Florida Gator and Will Hill.
You know, here's good. You got to understand something, John. When somebody calls about somebody like that, they're rooting for their hometown guy or their hometown.
Well, she's not big fans, though. She's like, I don't know why they signed these guys. Yeah. They stink.
But a lot of times you'll get people who say, hey, you know what? They're going to camp. This is a great thing. And
right.
I understand that. Just being in a camp is a good thing because a lot of people don't even get to go to camp. But for the most part, you're right. A lot of those types of guys are just roster fillers. They're people who have to take snaps so that the first and second and third string guys don't die of heat exhaustion. Really is what it comes down to.
Oh, man. 201-939-4513. Dave's out in Colorado. Dave, what's up, pal?
Gentlemen, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning.
Hi.
Dave. How's beautiful Colorado?
It's nice down in this part of the state. I'm not up in the smoky section.
Nice.
Now, we were talking about, I heard you guys talking about receivers earlier, and Jernigan, I mean, guy's kind of small, and you mentioned Sonoris Moss, and he really didn't cut it. I'm curious about some of these unsigned guys or new guys like David Douglas, Isaiah Stambach. Have you guys shown some potential?
Well, Isaiah Stambach's been in this league for a long time. He started with Dallas, could never stay healthy, went to New England, couldn't get on the field there as a wide receiver. Look, the guy, you look at him, and you say, boy, that guy looks like an NFL player. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. He's just never been able to figure out the ins and outs of playing wide receiver in the NFL, the route running, the hands, the instincts. So I don't think you expect much out of him at this point. Douglas, again, I think that's more on the roster filler end of things. He'll have an opportunity to show something, but I wouldn't get too excited about that. And then the Giants brought back one of the wide receiver from Julian Talley. From rookie minicamp, another guy that they like. He's a smaller guy, quick. But, again, the Giants are pretty well-stocked in wide receiver with their own draft picks and with their veterans. These guys are going to have to show a lot to make the roster or even the practice squad.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm really excited with Randall. I think Randall's going to be a nice addition, definitely.
Yeah, Randall looks really polished. I like him a lot. The other guy, John, you got to mention, and only because so many people around here, people keep talking about DePalma. I keep hearing constantly how DePalma's got tremendous speed. He's tough. He's got good hands. I've had so many people around this complex tell me, and I hate to do this to the kid because it's just so unfair.
Don't say Victor Cruz.
I keep hearing that. That DePalma is a guy that nobody talks about outside of this complex, but that inside this complex, people think he could be that kind of player.
Smaller, though. He's a smaller guy.
And he's a little faster.
Right.
But in terms of coming out of nowhere and being a producer.
Jernigan.
No, he is bigger than Jernigan.
That he is.
And we just haven't seen much of DePalma, really. Because was he here for training camp?
His practice squad last year.
Yeah, we didn't see him practice all that
much, though. From what I understand,
came in late, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, we're only allowed to watch 15, 20 minutes of practice, right, John. We don't get to see much during the season. From what I understand, he was outstanding all year long.
Well, he was the scout team guy, so I'm sure he mimicked other teams' best wide receivers
and
all the time.
And they loved him.
Right.
All I'm saying is just keep his name in the back of your head. Just I'm just warning you.
I'm labeling that another Paul Dottino sleeper. So you have DePalma, Will Hill, and then who's your third guy?
Oh, I forget who I had my third guy. I got Hill.
I'm hoping Hickson gets healthy and comes back. I mean,
he's no sleeper. We all know
plug.
What Dominic can do. I just hope he's healthy and he can hold up.
Appreciate the call, Dave.
Right on. Thanks, guys. Go Big Blue.
No problem. Oh, yeah, Martinick. You like Martinick?
No, I'm not a Martinick guy. Actually, Adrian Tracy is my other dark horse guy.
JoJo Nicklaus was your guy, right?
No. Tracy is my other dark horse guy whose career has been sidelined by injury to this point, but I know that they really, really like
him. Actually, his coach answered that question that you gave him in the press conference a week ago, so you're just stealing that from coach. That doesn't count.
Well, I had my eye on him.
All right, Paul will be with Anita on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Wednesday and Thursday this week. We'll actually be able to talk about minicamp after we see the guys in the field a little bit. That should be fun. We'll hear from Coach in about 20 minutes. That'll be on Giants.com shortly thereafter. Then we'll go and talk to the players. Paul, you got any players you're going after today? Big questions? Any stories you're trying to hit?
You know, John, today is just kind of getting back into the groove. You know, after tomorrow, after the first practice today, we kind of get more into certain questions we want to ask about. What I'm really curious about, I'll tell you one thing I'm really curious about right now. A big deal with the running backs every spring is, as you know, the Giants have a very complex playbook. They make a very, very big deal out of who gets to study the third down package. And that's always been a big deal under Coughlin, ever since he's gotten here. They give that big third down package playbook to a certain running back on the team, saying, we'd like you to study this because we think you have the inside track to be the third down guy.
Who has the book?
Ryan Grant had the book 1 year. They had big plans for him, and then he got hurt. Then he wound up getting traded. DJ Ware has had the book for a couple of years, and then he keeps getting hurt. I'd love to know who has the third down book this year.
So you're saying it's the equivalent of the Sports Illustrated cover. You get the book and you automatically
hope the guy doesn't get hurt, whoever it is this year. But does Ware have that book this spring? Does David Wilson have that book this spring? I'd like to know. That's what I'm looking for right now. Who starts taking most of the third down snaps at the minicamp this
week?
It'll
be interesting to see. Paul, we'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. And, of course, Paul and I will have our minicamp report later on today as well. As you know, Paul's going to have the minicamp report with Anita on Thursday. I'll be with Eisen later on today, so make sure you check that out on Giants.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody, for another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live presented by Andrew Mark right here on Giants.com and, of course, on your Giants mobile app. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Enjoy your week. We'll see you tomorrow morning.